I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity in life to have a fresh start. Maybe you've gone somewhere, you've moved somewhere, and it's been a new beginning for you. Years ago, when I was involved in youth work, I had a nickname that I could never seem to get rid of. Do you want to know what that nickname was? The nickname was Fishy, because my second name is Gil, highly imaginative. And everywhere I went, people kept on calling me Fishy, and I liked it initially, but after a while, I started to get a little bit tired of it, but I could just never shake it. People kept on calling that to me. But then when I went to work up in a church in the north, nobody knew me. It was a new beginning. It was a fresh start. So I was able to say, my name is Andrew, and that's all people called me. It was a new beginning. It was a fresh start. Now, that's not an excuse for people to start calling me Fishy here, okay? Don't want anyone trying to be smart after the service. We're continuing a series that we started a few weeks ago, looking at the life of Moses that is called Out of and Into. And today we're coming to the central point of that story. And we're looking at the story of the Passover, when God delivers the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. This, for them, is a new beginning. It's a fresh start. Up to this point, they were called by Pharaoh slaves. But after this, they will be known as being God's loved, treasured, holy people. It's a fresh start. This is the defining moment for the Jewish people, who still celebrate this feast annually. It is one of the most significant events in the whole Bible. And it points us ultimately to the freedom that we can have in Christ. Because Jesus came to rescue us out of sins and into peace with God. He came to save us out of death and bring us into eternal life. This story is about a new beginning for the Hebrew people. And I pray that today it might be a new beginning for many of us here today. As always, I encourage you, if you have a Bible with you, to open it in front of you and to follow along. And as we approach this story, we're going to look at it from three different perspectives. We're going to visit three different houses and look at the different aspects from their point of view. And so the first house we are going to go to is a palace. And we're going to go through the doorway and we see a king sitting on his throne. Next to him is the prophet Moses. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus 11, 4-8, we can read exactly what Moses said to him. He says, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the female slave who is still at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, far worse than there ever has been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All those officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, 'Go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave.'" That's what Moses said to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh refused to listen. Pharaoh had a hard heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. And in verse 8, it says that Moses left hot with anger. He was angry, I don't think, just because he wasn't being listened to, but because he knew the suffering that was going to come because of Pharaoh's stubbornness. There had been 9 other plagues before this, 9 other times when Moses' warnings came to be true. But Pharaoh believed that not only was he a king, but that he was a god. And out of pure pride and hubris, he kept on saying no. But then that night, he woke from his sleep with a loud sound of wailing in 1229. His son, the prince, was dead, as was the oldest son of each of his officials. as was the oldest son of his servants, even his prisoners, even the firstborn from among the livestock. There was not a house in Egypt without somebody dead. So Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron, and not only now does he give them permission to go, but he commands them to go. 12:31, he says, "Get out of here now. Leave. I never want to see you again." And the rest of the Egyptians want to encourage them to go so much that they give them gold, silver, and clothes. And so Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at this point, watches as his slaves walk out of his land as victors after a battle. God had rescued his people. This is one of the greatest stories of rescue. He had freed his people from slavery. God had answered their prayers with mighty miracles and released them out of their oppression. But that's not the full story. There is more going on than just that. And so we need to go to our next house. And we're going to rewind to the beginning of that night again. And we're going to see how that night was different for the Israelites. So we're in an Israelite house, which is far from the palace. And we go through the door, and we notice that there's blood on the top and on the sides of the doorframe. And we see a family sharing a meal. Lamb is on the menu, the best of their flock. They cooked it whole, sharing some with the neighbor so that none would be left over. And they're eating in a hurry. The bread was made without yeast because there was no time to let it rise. Their bags are packed, their coats are on, they are ready to leave. They are ready to be rescued by this final and terrible plague. They have endured the plagues of frogs and gnats with the Egyptians. So for the first few plagues, the Israelites were impacted just as much as the Egyptians were. But then we see that God starts to make a distinction. And so God spared them from the plague of flies. Their sheep and cattle were kept safe when a plague of disease struck the Egyptians' livestock. And while the rest of Egypt was in darkness for 3 days, the Israelites lived in light. So we know that God knows who lives in where the Egyptians live and where the Israelites live. He knows who lives where. So why the lamb? Why the need to put blood on the door? Because God knows who is in there. See, this plague is different. This final plague is not like the others. This is not just punishment on the Egyptians for their cruelty. This is God's judgment coming on sin. And you see, before God, the Israelites were just as guilty of sin as the Egyptians were. The default mode of all our hearts is to behave like Pharaoh did. We're hard towards God. We say no to his commands. We refuse to listen to his words. We try to set up ourselves as king and God of our own lives. I want to live my life this way without God. And the Bible is very clear that the judgment on sin is death. And so when God's judgment visited Egypt that night, it meant that there had to be a death in every house. But God passed over the Israelites, not because they were Israelites, but because there had already been a death in that house. A sacrifice had been made, a substitute had been given. The lamb had died in the place of the son. Not only were the Israelites saved by the plague, but they were also safe from the plague. And it's so important that we understand both aspects of this story. That evening, the family walked into that house as slaves, but they walked out as free people. But for the eldest son, it had extra significance because he walked into that house as one destined to die, but he walked out under the blood as somebody who had been redeemed and given new life. Perhaps we came to church as slaves to sin, deserving the judgment of death. But we can walk out today receiving redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Today can be a fresh start. It can be a new beginning. We can have new life today. And of course, so often what we see in the Old Testament is just a foreshadow of something even greater that is to come. So let us finally go to our third house. We're going to fast forward in time to about 1,500 years or so after the events of the first Passover. We're going to go through the doors of a house in Jerusalem, and we're going to go up the stairs where we see Jesus and his disciples celebrating the Passover meal, just as Moses commanded them to do, to celebrate this annually. And if you read through Luke chapter 22, verses 19 to 23, he tells us that after the meal, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples. And then he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus was making a connection between what was about to happen and the Passover. After that meal, he was betrayed, he was arrested, he was beaten, and he was killed. And after his resurrection, the disciples put all this together, and they understood what Jesus was saying. They realized that his death on the cross was for us. Jesus sacrificed himself to forgive us. He substituted himself to redeem us. Christ is our perfect Passover lamb. He died in our place. He was punished for our sin, so that God's judgment would pass over us. By his blood, we can be set free. The same joy that was experienced by the Israelites that day as they walked out of their slavery can be experienced by us today in abundance. These are the three houses we visited. And so the question for us today was, well, what about our house? What about your house? Or in particular, what about your heart? Are you going to have a heart like Pharaoh that's hard towards God, that's saying no and refusing to listen? Or are you going to have a heart of faith and put your trust in the blood of Jesus? Yesterday, when I was sitting in the garden writing out these notes that I have in front of me, my pen started to run out of ink, and I just ended up making a mess on the page. So I went and got a clean piece of paper, blank in front of me, and I was able to start all over again. Maybe sin has made a mess of your life. Maybe on your page you have regrets, you have mistakes, you have failures, you have things you wish you didn't do, things you know that are wrong. But Jesus can give you a blank page. He can give you a fresh, clean start today. Through the cross, we have a fresh start and a new beginning. The blood of Christ can rescue us out of the judgment of sin and bring us into the joy of salvation. We can be lifted out of the fear of death and brought into eternal life. I want to finish by leading us in a prayer. And the words to this prayer will be on the screen. And maybe you want to just echo this prayer in your heart, and you realize that you've been saying no to God, and you want to turn to him and you want to start saying yes. You want that fresh start, that new beginning, that freedom from sin. So let's come before God and let's pray. Father God, I thank you that before the creation of the world, you chose Jesus Christ to be our Passover lamb. Thank you that with his precious blood, I can be redeemed and set free. Lord, I confess that I have sinned against you. I have acted with pride, hardened my heart to your word, and said no to your commands. Please forgive me. Today I choose to put my faith in the blood of Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit into my heart so that today may be for me a day of new beginnings. Amen.